O grace to you and peace from our God and Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, dear friends, I already had my sermon prepared as I headed out for Royalton this morning, and got a little past Little Falls there. Red lights in my mirror. And like many of you, you know, I looked down at my speedometer right away, but no, I was going the speed limit, and so I pulled over, and the highway patrol officer comes up to my car, and he says, "Sir, I'm going to do a safety inspection on your car." And so, of course, then, you know, your registration has to be in order, and of course, you have to produce your insurance card, and then you need walking around looking at all my lights to make sure they shine and wink in the right places and all of that. And all the while, you know, probably much like you, I'm feeling kind of humiliated, you know. You know, my blood pressure is kind of rising a little bit, you know. And I'm, you know, thinking, well, I'm just trying to get to church this morning, right? Well, I passed. They sent me on my way. I suppose it only really took 5 minutes, but it seemed like forever. Right? You're sitting there making a big spectacle with all the lights flashing and everything that's going on. Well, yeah, I understand the highway patrol has the right to, you know, stop people and check their credentials and check their car. But have you ever just kind of been in a mild situation like that? But you know, as you're driving away, you know, you're trying to make sure you're working the turn signal right, and you're shaking a little bit, and I mean, you got to do this perfect this time. Don't want to get in any more trouble somehow. I think we've all kind of had experiences like that. Yeah, they're just kind of mild, and you know, we may tell them to our friends, and they kind of say, "Oh, so what? You know, you get a ticket, and everything's fine. And so what's the big deal?" But you felt, you know, kind of bad afterwards, right? It's kind of a mild thing, though. Yesterday, many of you know, for my son Robert, he was ranked third in the state for the sport of Olympic weightlifting, and we thought that he was going to be going, but the powers that be decided they had to have a kind of extra competition for him to compete with others that had not quite made the state qualification number. And so we went off there to the cities and down south there. After the first round, he was ahead in the competition by 6 kilograms. And, you know, we're feeling pretty good about things, but he did, in fact, miss his last lift. And there were two other young men then that lifted 1 kilogram more overall. And so I think about, you know, what is one kilogram? You know, Robert's been working for 6 years, and he's always kind of had that idea that he'd like to be able to go to state. You probably remember, you know, Scott went to state 3 times, and he won twice. And so, you know, Robert was hoping he could at least have a trip there. You know, as things were wrapping up, I could kind of see that 1,000-yard stare in his eye. Maybe you've been there for, you know, your kids, your grandkids, you know, someone that you're really close to, or they have a lot of time and energy wrapped up into something that they had a dream to be able to accomplish a certain purpose, and you know, then suddenly it's the end. Suddenly it's over. Right? That is a little bit more intense, isn't it? Right, when our dreams kind of crack, we have difficulties. the Apostle Paul maybe is kind of the ultimate example of that, because you remember there's the Apostle Paul, and what is he doing? He's doing God's work. He's out there doing God's will. What is God's will? God says he desires for everyone to be saved, for everyone to come to the knowledge of him. He sends his prepared servant Paul into many and various cities to proclaim that gospel. But of course, you remember on one particular day, as Paul was preaching, the people, they just took hold of him and they took him outside the city and they threw rocks at him until they thought he was dead. There he is lying unconscious in the field. Even more than my little story this morning, where I'm sitting there being kind of inconvenienced and feeling embarrassed. Thinking, I'm just trying to get to church. Right? The Apostle Paul wakes up with a concussion. Right? He's covered with bruises. And he's maybe saying those same words. Right? I was just trying to get to church today. Right? What happened? God's will sometimes isn't accomplished. Right, there are days when God's will isn't done. God says to Paul, go here and preach the gospel. I want these people to be saved. And Paul wakes up unconscious in a field, saying, what happened? Right. I don't know. Now, really, if you and I were the Apostle Paul on a day like that, would we not consider retiring? Would you not say, I think I'm done? Right? That's it. Lord, we had a good run together, but I'm kind of looking for a place on the beach now. I'm going to just kind of lick my wounds and recover from my injuries. And, maybe it's time for someone else to pick up the mantle. Right? He could have said that. But you know what? The Apostle Paul, he got up and he went another round, didn't he? Now, we haven't seen a lot of, Rocky movies lately, but they're kind of popular. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, I can especially remember, I think I was still pretty young when Rocky I, came out, right? And you say, well, Pastor, you're going to talk about that violent sport of boxing and, people just kind of beating on each other. And I don't know if I like that much, but his theme always was, right, going one more round makes all the difference in your life. And what is that? It's that you would get up once again. Right, that you would continue trying, you would continue to strive for that, goal that is driving you. You would continue to pursue your dream, even though you were knocked down. Right, even though some big guy in the ring came and gave you a big hit to the jaw, and you were on the ground, right, that you could get up. Once again. And the Apostle Paul, he comes to us today and he says, this is what our Lord provides. He tells us that there's going to be days when God's will just isn't done. There's going to be days when the evil one is able to come and hurt you. But there's going to be times when, even though you're going about the very business of proclaiming the gospel, you're going to get hurt and you're going to be laid low. But what I want to continue to be able to tell you is, of course, right, God saying to you today, he is there. He will help you when your dreams are broken. He will pick you up once again when you feel like you can't go on. He will walk with you through trials and terrible circumstances. He says he will heal your wounded heart. He will help to open your eyes once again to see the love that he has for you. He will shelter you in times when you feel like you just can't take it anymore. In the minor circumstances, you know, he will steady your nerves so you can drive away from what you felt was an unfair traffic stop. You can get home. He can come alongside of you when a dream that you've been pursuing for 6 years is seemingly taken away. He can lift you up again. Of course, on those days when you're out there doing his work and you were doing it according to his will, you went to visit your neighbor to tell them about the love of Christ and they slammed the door in your face and it broke your nose. And you're saying, what in the world just happened? God says he will be there for you. Right, he'll lift you up out of the rock pile. He'll renew your sense of purpose, right, your sense of duty. He'll walk beside you once again and take you on to that next place. He'll heal your wounded heart. And dear friends, that is the God that we serve. Yeah, he told us up front, you know, in this world there's going to be trouble. But then he went on to say, fear not, I have overcome the world. In this world, unfair things are going to happen, but he will be there to walk with you through those trying times. In this world, there's going to be heartache. In this world, your dreams are going to be fractured and shattered on certain days. And God says he will help to put you back together once again. Now, I know that I've told you before and use this example, but of course we love John 3:16 so much, don't we? Now, God so loved the world. But it's really easy, isn't it? You think, oh, that's nice. You know, the world, and you know, God's out there at a distance. And he, you know, he sees that little blue marble, you know, floating around. He says, oh, I love the world. Oh, that little blue marble, oh, you know, that's really special to me. I love the world. But God loves you. He loves you so much, so when Jesus hung upon the cross, he was thinking about you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die in your place, to open the way to heaven for all who believe. He loves you so much. When you're rattled and irritated and it seems unfair, right? He can help you continue on. When something you put your life into, you have 6 years of effort into the goal, you had a longing, a desire to fulfill it, and then it's gone, he will make something new. He loves you so much that even when you're trying desperately to get through to someone you love and care about, you're longing to share the gospel with them that their life might be finally changed, and they just kind of, you know, shrug their shoulders, spit in your face, or, you know, even said, who cares about that, grandma? You're just old. We do things different today. That God can be there in that place. And he can pick you up out of the rock pile that your loved one has heaped upon you, and he can help you carry on. And even go one more round. It's like Rocky said. Now, going one more round can make all the difference in your life. Now, God wants to be there for you, to pick you up, to help you go through it one more time. Because this time, maybe that person you love will finally have the light in their eye. And they'll thank you so very much for sharing the gospel with them. Now, in our funeral liturgy, we have that certain segment where we say, you know, that we are able to comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received. If you never went through any hard times, if never anything bad had happened in your life, would anybody else out there really ever come to you for comfort? I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, you know, and I always got the best grades. I have, you know, like 12 varsity letters. Then I went to the top seminary in the land, and I had my family, and, you know, my son is an engineer here, and my other son is full ride scholarship there, and that guy over there, he's playing football in the NFL, and, you know, my fourth son is, you know, doing awesome things too. He just wants state. Would you come to me if you're having trouble? If anything was going wrong in your life, would you say, oh, hey, Pastor Joe, he'll understand. Right? No, you say, I don't know if I even want to, you know, share anything with that guy. Every time I see him, everything is so perfect. He never had a problem. How's he going to know what I'm going through, you see? But now when we've gone through hard times, we can comfort others with that same comfort we have received. And that's really what the church is all about, isn't it? That you and I can go through this life and we can get hurt, that our dreams can be broken and our hearts can be torn, and we have a place where we can go. A place where we can be reminded that God still loves us. That God sent Jesus to die just for you and I. That God will pick us up once again. He'll carry us in his mighty arms if we can't go on. He'll walk beside us with the arm around us when we need that support. He'll walk beside us. He'll help us, yeah, make it through a traffic stop. A little bit rattled, irritated, embarrassed. He'll help you come back from a broken, cherished dream. He'll make a new plan, a new path to take you into the future. He'll sustain you in the most trying times of life because of his love. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be in your hearts and minds, now and always. Amen.